Hello, guys. Welcome to episode 25 of ATL Sports HQ Live. I am ATL Phil, better known as Phil Beasley. I think I just did that backwards, but oh well. You follow me at underscore ATL Phil on Twitter and Instagram.
What's going on, guys? I'm Derek Clemens. You can follow me on Twitter at Derek Clemens.
I'm Brett Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Brett underscore A27.
And definitely make sure you guys check out the site, atlsportshq.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube and on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell your friends, tell your family about us. Check out our Twitter pages. We have like 8 of them. So make sure you follow all our team specific feeds for live in-game coverage and all that kind of stuff. And also check out our Facebook and our Instagram at ATL Sports HQ. Everything ATL Sports HQ. So make sure you guys do that. Also, if you'd like to join us, join us on the site. We're looking for anything that you think you might be able to add to our Atlanta sports blanket of coverage. Give us a shout, and we'll get you more info and get you hooked in. Let's jump right into it. The NBA playoffs are well underway, actually almost coming to a close. We're drawing near to the finals here in a few days. So I have to say the conference finals have been a letdown. Now, this Toronto-Milwaukee game tonight has been pretty good. Very close game here in the fourth quarter, but other than that, not very good. The Warriors, they're up 3-0. The Blazers, yet again, just can't get it done late. They fall at home in game 3, so that one is done. We'll see the Warriors again in the finals for like the 6th time in a row. I'm tired of them. I'm sure y'all are too. But why can't the Blazers get it done late against Golden State? I mean, who really can? But why can't the Blazers, right?
I guess they just keep running out of gas, and Logo Lillard is not being Logo Lillard right now. He's just stepped down. This game has stepped down a little bit. And again, I know we're about to get into this, but he had that. They're saying he's playing through an injury right now. But I mean, they weren't a great defensive team, and That's really what's hurting them right now, late in games.
Yeah, they're really missing Yusuf Nurkic right now, I think.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Lillard has been average since the shot, and yeah, I guess he's taking a lot of wear and tear. I heard he has maybe even some broken ribs, so he's playing through a lot of pain. But, you know, the Blazers, they overachieved. So I hope we don't see any slander to them if they do get swept, because they did something very hard to do. They went into Denver where they had only lost 7 home games all season and stole game 7. So that's a very hard thing to do. Denver was a good, good team. So, it's unfortunate. But, hey, it's the Warriors. I mean, who has beaten them in the last few years. So credit to Portland and their great fan base up there. But hopefully, I don't know, I'd like to see Portland try to get like a really good four-man or something. They need one more piece, I think.
They need a solid big man.
Yeah.
Sure.
They need something. I don't know what they need. They're a really good team. I mean, people don't realize this team won 53 games this year mm-hmm. in the West. That's good.
Sure.
So, we'll see. But does anyone here think the Warriors miss Kevin Durant?
No, they don't at all. I mean, they're a better team with Kevin Durant. I forgot who said it. Like, they are a better team with Kevin Durant, but the offense flows a little better with him off the floor because he's such a ball dominant player. But again, they won championships without him. So, I mean, I don't miss them too much.
They won 73 games.
Mm hmm.
They've done this before.
Yeah.
He was an addition.
They look better. You know, they're more fluid. They're funner to watch. I prefer them. You know, I don't like the move. I'm very bitter about the Kevin Durant move to Golden State. So, I don't want to say I hope he doesn't come back for the finals, but I hope he doesn't come back for the finals for the basketball's sake, for seeing better basketball. I think Toronto, not Toronto. I think Milwaukee Golden State without Kevin Durant will be a very good series. But it seems like KD, and this is very KD of him, has taken some offense to saying that, to people saying that the Warriors don't miss it. Why is he so sensitive, Derek?
I mean, we've seen it before from him. I thought he's gotten over it because he's trying to be more honest to himself and he's talked about it in the media and stuff, but he obviously still cares. I mean, you're in the conference finals. I don't care if you're not playing. You really shouldn't be worried about what's going on social media when you're going out and trying to win a championship, even if you're not playing. I mean, you just have to have that mindset throughout. But, I mean, he's shown to be sensitive, so it's really not a surprise that he's commenting and stuff.
Yeah, like, what are you doing on Instagram interacting with regular people during the conference finals, but arguing with, like go get a life, don't you? He doesn't have any kids, does he? You need to go have some kids.
I need some distractions.
Basketball, like you're too old, and I bet he still has burner accounts too. You know
what I mean? Sorry, definitely.
For a star of that magnitude, arguably the best player in the league right now, he has some pretty pathetic ways that he plays himself. I really don't have a lot of respect for him, but hey, if he wants to come to Atlanta,
I'll take him
with open arms.
Absolutely. Do the same thing.
Is the writing pretty much on the wall? Is KD gonna depart from the Warriors this summer?
I think so. I think he's headed to the Knicks, Nets, somewhere over there, I think.
He ain't going to the Knicks. The Knicks are going to be mired in absolute failure until the end of eternity. I can't stand the Knicks. It's funny to watch them fail. What do you think?
I think he's going to leave. I think he wants to get his big payday, which he really hasn't got the one that he wants exactly. He's taken a few pay cuts because of teams he's been on, but I think he finally is going to go do his own thing and try to get paid and see what he could do on his own.
Yeah. I could see him going to Brooklyn, maybe. The Clippers. I'd like him in Portland. I mean, I don't think he'd ever go to a city that small. But let's see, who else? I think people are, let's say, if Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris don't re-sign, I could see Philadelphia. I don't think people have really brought that up. And then there's also always the possibility of him going home to Washington. But Washington, I don't think they have any money.
They're a big dumpster fire, and I won't go there.
They owe John Wall like $900 billion over the next 3 years. I think Washington is in cap hell. They really need to blow it up this summer. Mm-hmm. John Wall, I don't think he's going to play at all next year. So they really need to blow it up. Trade Beal, we'll take Beal.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But let's say KD doesn't come back at all this year. What would be the outcome of a Milwaukee Golden State series without KD?
I think Golden State would still win it. I think it would be 5 or 6 games, but because they still got they still got too much firepower on that offense, and it's really hard to stop them. And I just. With KD, it would probably still be 5 or 6 games. But without him, I just feel like they're too good of an offense to just slow down and just because Milwaukee Giannis is a great player and everything, but it's had that firepower. You feel like you need a bucket down the stretch. You know Steph Clay, one of them will go get you a bucket. But that's one thing I think Giannis needs to work on. I'm watching him right here. Drive in, but I feel it'll be 5 or 6 games for the Warriors.
I think it'd be closer to 6 or 7. I definitely think Milwaukee can challenge them. Milwaukee is a beautifully constructed team. Mm-hmm. They are a textbook championship built team, like an old school kind, before these super teams started popping up. They remind me a lot of Dallas that year they won. They're mm-hmm. just a really well coached, really well constructed. They play solid basketball and they got the star. So I really like Milwaukee. I like their chances to breeze through the rest of the Eastern Conference Finals. And I really think they could win 2 or 3. And it wouldn't entirely shock me if they knocked off the Warriors. Excuse me. in the finals. What do you think, Derek?
I think they have the best chance from the East. I mean, because they can shoot the ball very well, too. And, I mean, Brogdon's came back, and he's been – there's been no drop-off since his injury or anything. So, I mean, I think they have the shooting. I think it really relies on what Giannis is able to do because, I mean, obviously they're going to focus in on him. And he struggled sometimes in his playoffs run. I mean, that game against the Celtics, and, I mean, he's struggling tonight a little bit when he's being more focused on. So he needs to find other ways to maybe get a bucket or find other guys open. But I think the Bucks will pull off at least a game. They might get two. And then, I mean, like you said, Phil, I mean, it's very possible, especially if the Warriors don't have KD. They could sneak by and, I mean, maybe put the Warriors on the ropes and maybe squeeze out the series, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, now, what if Toronto does complete this series comeback and wins the series? What would y'all have a Toronto Golden State series looking like?
That'll be a five-game series for Golden State, I think. I mean, Toronto is just, they're so Jekyll and Hyde. They're not very consistent at all. When they're playing really good, they can compete with the Warriors, I feel like. But not for seven games. But the Warriors win that in five, I believe.
Yeah, I'd take the Warriors in five in that case. Just Toronto, I don't know. And, you know, here they are in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I don't know about them. I don't know. They're not deep enough to me. They don't. It's just not, you know, you never know what you're going to get out of Kyle Lowry. He reminds me a lot of the Jeff Teague days.
Mm-hmm.
He might have a great night. He might have, like, zero. But I don't know.
I think if that happened, I think Kawhi would probably have one of the best finals performances, but they would still probably not even win a game. But I swear, every time he plays them, he just turns into a different person. I mean, and he's been killing it all throughout their playoff run. So it's been fun watching him, like, have the spotlight, really.
How about that shot last week, right around this time? Man, that was incredible. I didn't get to see it live, of course, since I was down in DR, but man, that was crazy. Like, is that the best shot y'all have ever seen?
It's definitely the luckiest shot I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, I've never, out of all my years watching and playing basketball, I've never seen a ball bounce short off the rim and then go to the other side and then bounce like three more times.
Four bounces. Just everything surrounding that moment. That's one of the best moments, I think, in modern NBA history.
That's for sure.
A great game. But, man, Philadelphia, here they are again, you know, two straight second-round exits, but they got a lot of question marks this summer. Let's say if Jimmy didn't come back and Harris doesn't come back and they're kind of, you know, is the process, would it be a failure, like, if they take a step back next year? Or do they need to be patient? I mean, 7 years of outright tanking and a couple of second-round exits, I don't know, that doesn't really seem worth it to me. I wouldn't be very excited if I was a fan.
I wouldn't say it would be a failure. I mean, you kind of see that they try to – they get real close to finally breaking through that. I felt like they kind of, like, skipped steps and got rid of some assets and made them – because they were not a deep team at all. They acquired that their starting five was up there – is the second-best starting five in the NBA, but their bench, it was awful. That's their big problem.
I love Mike Scott, but he can't be your best bench player.
He cannot.
What do you think, Derek?
I mean, they definitely have tough decisions to make, and they aren't in control of most of them because, I mean, you never know what Jimmy Butler is going to want to do. I mean, he just put out a post. I mean, it doesn't really mean anything, but he thanked Philadelphia and stuff. People take it as a farewell, like, I'm out of here or whatever. And then you got Tobias. He's also a free agent. So they really need to decide. You're not going to be able to keep both of them, I don't think, unless they like the team. Like, they like playing together and want to stay together. But I don't know. I mean, it will be very bad if they do take a step back. I mean, it's possible that they lose both of them. And then who would they get? I mean, they might be back at square one when they had Ben Simmons and Embiid. I mean, to be honest, they're not the great – they don't have the greatest chemistry on the court, I don't think, because of both of their playing styles.
Yeah, it's like Embiid is the guard sometimes. And
yeah.
Simmons, yeah, he's good, but until he gets a shot, not going to be elite. Got to open up the floor for Embiid to be the best. Well, and I also think people need to slow down on that label because – let's say if I went to work 3 days a week, of course I'd give more effort than my regular 5 day a week work week. So Embiid doesn't practice, he doesn't play every game, so of course his numbers are going to be better, he has more energy. Mm-hmm. So they need to slow down on the best big man in the league. Anyways, Bucks and Raptors, we are here in game 3, Toronto on the ropes, but they're taking care of business right now. They are up 88-82 with 6 minutes to go. I don't know. This series, it's good, but it doesn't have that great watchable factor to me. Like, it doesn't jump off the TV as like great basketball as like the second round series did. But you know, with Milwaukee up 2-0 and just steamrolling through the East playoffs. You know, LeBron left, and people are like, yeah, the East is wide open. Well, is Giannis the new LeBron of the East where every year you're going to have to go through him? What do you think, Brett?
That's a tough one because LeBron's he owned this league for a decade. And that's a tough one. I feel like he's always – I would have to say, yeah, because he's going to have the say-so. His team's gonna always going the Bucks are gonna be a perennial team around the perennial Eastern Conference Finals team, I think. So you will have to go through them. But again, it's maybe Boston figures it out and Kyrie decides to go sort of like Brooklyn and team up with Kevin Durant or something like that. Then they'll be their Eastern Conference. But who knows? As it sets up right now, I feel like Giannis is the guy to go through in the East.
Yeah. What about you, Brett?
I think that's a hard thing for him to live up to because of how dominant and how long LeBron was. And I do think that these East teams are going to continue to get better. I mean, we've seen a lot get better this year. And with all the free agents and some of them interested in going to the East, I mean, I just think the East is going to continue to get better and it's going to be harder and more of a toss-up of who's going to be that top team.
Yeah, you remember how a few summers ago it was like all the stars went west? I think we're going to see a leveling out in the next few summers where a lot of stars come back east. And, you know, eventually the conferences will hopefully be balanced. So, let's see. Coach Bud, a few weeks ago, people were calling him a regular season coach, calling him overrated, this and that, after the Bucks lost game one at home to the Boston Celtics. Well, the tides have turned. 2 weeks later, it seems like everybody is back on the bandwagon, or not back on, because they never were really on it when he was the Hawks coach, but on the bandwagon of calling Coach Bud one of the best, if not the best coach in the NBA. What would you consider, where would you rank Coach Bud currently as a coach in the NBA? Start you, Derek.
He's definitely top three. I don't think anyone is surpassing Pop as long as he is in the league. And then I think it's debate. There's a few coaches that I think are – because, I mean, it's really every year. I mean, you see someone else come up and then perform well. I mean, we've seen the Brad Stevens thing, and everyone wanted to put him as the best coach in the NBA, but then we've seen the drop-off. But I definitely think he's always should be in the conversation as a top three coach in the NBA.
Yeah, I definitely I don't think I would call him best just yet. Now, if they complete this playoff run to knock off the Warriors, we might have to have the conversation. But I'd say top three. He's right up there with Pop and maybe top two. Can't really think right now of who else I'd consider the greats. I mean, Doc Rivers, for the work he's done the last 2 years, has been really good. So he's up there in that top five. Let's see, can't really think of anybody else off the top of my head that I'd consider just a great, great coach right now. What about you, Brett?
I think I would go ahead and put him in the top three because he is, like I said, he took the Hawks to the conference finals where we haven't been in about 50 years until he took us there, and then took the Bucks to the conference finals this year where they haven't been in about 50 years. So I'll put him in the top three, but again, he got Pop. I think Doc Rivers is, for the job he did just this year alone, that was impressive. And I also think I'll put him ahead of Terry Stotts because the Blazers are always seem to be always in the top four and four or five in the West every year now, and the West has gotten deeper and deeper, and they're still always consistently up there.
Yeah, hopefully in a few years we'll be saying Coach Pierce in kind of conversations. I definitely could see it. I really think Coach Pierce has a great future. And, you know, he has the perfect support around him and a great group of guys around him. On to the NBA lottery. So, the lottery could have been worse to us. You know, obviously it could have been better, but we end up with the 8 and the 10. So that means we slid down from 5, 3 spots down to 8 with our pick. And then we kept the Dallas pick. But it did slide down one from 9 to 10. Some of the notable moves was the Lakers sliding way up and the Pelicans sliding up to get the number one pick for Zion. Now, the Hawks with the 8th and the pick and the 8th and the 10th pick. That's two top 10 picks. I can't remember recently another team having two top 10 picks. No, Blazers had like 10 and 12 a few years ago, but the mood on Twitter Tuesday evening was very somber. People really complaining. I don't understand that. We're getting the man who drafted John Collins and Kevin Herter at 19, number 8 and number 10 in the same draft. So I'm really excited about that. Of course, we wanted Zion. One would have been nice, two would have been nice, three would have been nice, et cetera. But I'm not worried. We have great people in charge. This is not an Atlanta Spirit group. This is not Billy Knight or Billy King. I get them mixed up. I think they were both GMs at one point in the league. We had a Billy picking Sheldon Williams 5 and Marvin Williams 2 and AC Law and people like that. AC Law. Y'all remember Salim?
I thought Law was going to be the next big thing, and then he just fanned out quick.
Who else? Oh, yeah, we made trades for, like, Speedy Claxton. Remember how many times we were like, okay, we got our point guard.
Then I have one consistently till Teague.
I'm for sure that we have our point guard finally now, though.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Teague the 19th pick, too? The 19th pick has been pretty nice to the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, he was the 19th pick, too.
Was Dennis?
He was 17, no, I think.
17.
15 or 15. No, I think 15 was Lucas Nogueira. So, ooh, that's not good. But so the Hawks get 8 and 10, and we get the Dallas pick, and we have 3 second-round picks. That's not a bad haul for one draft, people. Relax. And also stop sounding like Lakers fans. We're not going to trade 8 and 10 and John Collins and this and that for the number one pick. New Orleans isn't doing it. Just stop it. I don't want to see it again. Okay? But what was you guys' reaction when they did the initial 14 to 5 and the Lakers and Knicks were in that Final Four. What was your instant reaction at that point?
Oh, I turned to my friend where I was sitting at a table at Hooters. I looked at my friend, I'm like, this thing's rigged. I can already tell. It's a lot of Lakers jolly up the top four, for the first team to jump up to the top four. So, well, yeah, I know that's not rigged, but that was just my initial reaction because I was upset because I saw the Hawks just get screwed over. But yeah, that was my initial reaction.
Yeah, and yeah, so the Hawks, the Bulls, the Suns, the Cavs, that's it, all slid down three. So we weren't the only unlucky ones, but I'm going to ruin everybody's day right here for who might not have seen us. We were one number away from winning the lottery. Yeah, one number away. And let's make it even worse. Under the old structure where they only picked the top three, someone way smarter than me did the math, and we would have won the lottery under the old construction. We would have had the number one pick. So, sorry. But we'll be okay. I trust Travis Slank and his brass and crew to make the right decisions. And I trust Coach Pierce to coach us in the right direction. And Trey Young and John Collins and Kevin Herter to lead us in the right direction. I think we're going to be just fine. What was your reaction when the Lakers and Knicks were in the top four?
When I first saw it, man, I was so sick. I was like, wow, it's really going to happen. The Knicks are going to get the first, and they're going to reward the Lakers with the second. And they're both all there because, I mean, that's all you've seen on Twitter and social media is Knicks fans. We got Zion in the bag no matter what. But I was glad to see that they fell 2-3. I mean, that's still a good pick, but they're not getting Morant or Zion. So that's good, of course. I mean, I hate the Knicks in general. And then it was good to see that the Lakers didn't fall into the top two either. But with the Hawks picks, I mean, at first I was kind of disappointed. I mean, obviously I wanted to get Zion or get higher up so we can secure a player that we want. But just looking at the draft and the teams that are in front of us and their needs, I still think that we can get the player that I think we will pick if he's at the A spot, and I think he could be one of the best players in this actual draft lottery.
Yeah, so if you were Travis Slank, how would you approach this draft? We have five picks. He's come out on record and said, I can't see us having five rookies on our squad next year. So how are you approaching this, Brett, if you're Travis Slank?
He needs to figure out of what kind of guy he wants. If he wants to be, they fall in love with Jarrett Culver, you're going to have to package some picks and move up and go and get him. Or they love Cameron Reddish, they might stay put. But yeah, all three of those second round picks will definitely, you'll see what we did last year with this trade one away and move for have it added next year's draft. Maybe even trade two of them for a future pick. So, but again, I feel like it's still the best player available mentality. Good up. We won however many games we won, 29 games. We're still in no position to pick and choose what positions we need. But besides a big man, we do need a big man. But yeah, best player available would be what I'll go with.
Yeah, and if I'm Travis Slank, I'm taking those second round picks, taking like all three of them. And, dangling, be like, hey, can we get back into the 20s or like 19 or something? So I'm doing something like that. Or maybe, some more stuff for next year. So you never know what Travis Slank has up his sleeves. What would you do, Derek?
I think you definitely have to throw them picks on put them on the market. And just see what teams are thinking of. And if the team, if a team that's higher in front of us, a better pick, if they have someone in mind that they think will drop to the eight and then we can move in and maybe throw them, give them our eighth pick, get their pick, and then also give them one of our second round picks, see if we want to get a player that we think might not be there at eight. Right. But I think you definitely put the 10th pick on the market and see if you can bring anyone that's already solidified himself in the league. I think definitely we need a center. There's really just no one on the market that I think is worth trading for. So, I mean, It really, I think we stay put with our first round picks, and then the second round picks, I think we're going to move them a little bit, maybe bring in other picks for next year. But I definitely don't see us keeping all three for the second round.
Yeah, no. Like you said, there would be absolutely no sense in adding five rookies on the team. That would mean basically five players on our current squad that we would be telling to kick rocks. Mm-hmm. Also, our average age would be like 20. You don't want that. In the NBA, we're trying to go forward, not backwards. It's a few random notes about the Hawks right quick. Trey Young and a few other players have already been seen at the practice facility, so this really speaks to their dedication and willingness to want to be right back out there. I know Trey Young now is out in Bahamas, but of course, you know, he deserves to travel. So I'm really excited for the future. And also of note, Vince Carter was out there messing around at the practice facility one of these days as the Hawks continue bringing in players daily for pre-draft workouts. And of course, now that we know where we will be picking, we'll start to see some of the better known names. You know, the names that have been coming in are late second round, probably not draft. They're going to be like summer camp, summer league invitees. No, Trey or Kevin will not be playing in summer league, guys. Don't even get your hopes up. So it's end of the barrel guys that have been coming in the last few weeks. But as we progress forward, we have about 32 days until the draft. Bigger names will be coming in, and we'll see if the writing is obvious on the wall like last year. If those who paid good attention last year knew after the Trae Young workout that it was destined and it was going to happen. Any other Hawks bits you guys want to add?
They announced the finalists for Rookie of the Year, which was obvious. Yeah. He was one of them.
Trae Young, Luka Doncic, of course. They also telling Ayton to come on down. I have a feeling this may be a little closer than the idiots at ESPN said in their little postseason poll. They had it like a 98-2 chance. You know what I got to tell them to, can we cuss on this show? I tell them to fuck off. I mean, is Luka going to win? Probably. But the voting is not going to be 98-2 or whatever BS they came up with. We're still going to hope until they open up that package and say Luka Doncic or whatever. Trae Young is my rookie of the year. Yeah, he's still going to be my rookie. He's going to be my sophomore of the year, too, next year. Making up this year. ATL Sports HQ award show coming up. On to the NFL, a few Falcons notes. Assistant GM, his name just escaped me. What was his name? Steve Paoli, am I? I just pulled that name out of the air. But he resigned, and the timing was right along with the Jets GM getting fired. So speculation is that he will be going to the Jets. Has that been confirmed or anything? Have the Jets hired him?
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but it's pretty much on the wall, I feel like. He's going to be going to the Jets.
Yeah, and it was too. Pursue other opportunities.
Yeah, so
I'm sure there was a deal in place. So we'll see. A lot of people say that will be a big loss because he was Thomas Dimitroff's right-hand man. So we'll see what the Falcons do this year. Organized team activities are starting. I know Julio won't be there. Will Matt Ryan be there? Will he make an appearance?
Sure. I will. Maybe. Who knows? If he wants to, he wants to. If not, who knows?
do organized team activities mean anything to you guys at all?
For the young guys, yeah. I mean, but no, not really. Not to me. I don't really care until we get to the camps, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It doesn't mean anything to me. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Cares. y'all think a Julio deal is brewing? I really don't want to see a situation where everybody's panicking and talking crap on sports radio, 92.9 The Game, raising hell about Julio's deal, distractions, all this and that. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I hope they can get this done before training camp, before the mandatory whatever things that Julio always skips. So obviously it's not really mandatory. Do y'all think that Julio will be done before training camp?
It better be done, because Dimitrov told us last offseason that Grady Jarrett and Julio will both have deals done before the start of this coming season.
Yeah.
Neither one of Grady's on his franchise tag now, so but it better be, something better be brewing. But I feel like stuff like that is going to leak out from the Falcons. So yeah, I feel like something is, it'll be done before training camp. At least one of the two will be done. I know Grady's got a deadline to get one done, but Julio, I think, will have one done before training camp for sure.
Yeah, let's hope so. I get tired of hearing it. I hate things like that. We just hear it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about something else. What do you think, Derek? Deal getting in?
Yeah, I think they'll finally do the right thing and it'll finally get done. I mean, there's been tons of rumors like recently that they're in talks and they're close to a deal and stuff. So, I mean, just get it over with. Give the man his money and go about the day.
What did y'all make of Arthur Blank's comment saying he's restless?
I'd be restless too.
Yeah, yeah,
saying what I'm saying.
Especially after seeing my Atlanta United win a championship. I mm-hmm. knew he would get restless after that. He tasted it. Yes, Atlanta United championship was huge. But can you imagine if the Atlanta Falcons won? You know, that's been his team for over a decade now, right? So that would be, like, much sweeter to him if he can get a Falcons championship. You know, under this current construction of the team, time is running out. I'd say maybe another 2-3 years with this core group of guys. So, yeah, I'd be restless too. I would have been restless a long time ago, honestly.
You got the right to be restless. I mean, the window's definitely closing, so you need, something needs to be done.
I do think they will have a good season this year.
I do too.
Let's see, but you know how it goes. In 1 year, the offense is great and the defense is awful. And the next mm-hmm. year, the defense is awful and the offense is great. So let's see which one we get this year. let's talk a little bit about our Bravos chopping here in Cobb County. So they're doing a lot better. You know, things weren't looking good after that Los Angeles Dodgers series. And then we lost the first game to the Arizona. I almost called them the Cardinals. No, that's football. Diamondbacks. So things weren't looking too good, but they had a really good week. The offense did a lot better. The bullpen was doing good, but they've had a few blows here lately. They won 2 out of 3 to the Milwaukee Brewers, so that's a team ahead of them in the standings. 1-1 in extras last night. Freddie Freeman home run there in the 10th inning. Freddie Freeman's really been this. His bat has been rather hot as of late. And Friday night, they won. They were up 12-0. So, yeah, game's over. You know, let's go celebrate and watch some fireworks at SunTrust Park. And they almost blew it. They ended up winning 12-8 and made everybody sweat when they shouldn't have been sweating. So, obviously, the bullpen still needs work. The Braves are doing what they can with the bullpen. You know, you keep seeing people getting sent down, released, waived, called up, roles changed. So, I mean, they're trying. They're trying. But obviously, you know, there's just not enough talent to go around in the bullpen. So, what do you think, Brett?
Well, I mean, the bullpen is definitely what's holding this team back for the most part. I know, I mean, most of the law, we've seen, well, I forget what the stat was. It's probably, or we've led in like, 80% of our games, and the bullpen just flat out blew it. And so most of our losses when it's come from the bullpen is imploding at some point. But the offense is, well, they weren't great today, but they've had a tough matchup. Woodruff can real good rising star for Milwaukee, but the bullpen needs to be something big has to happen to bullpen for sure. I mean, these little bitty signings, DFA guys calling up guys from AAA. I mean, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to work.
There's still a big name out there.
Oh, there is. I hope need it. Whatever. I don't care. That second round pick's not going to be as good as Craig Kimbrell is going to be, likely. So, I mean, I'm not getting their priorities.
isn't the date where that's no longer a factor is approaching, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the start of June when that date's here. So who knows? We're going to overtime.
You know, the Braves, they're having, all in all, they're still having a decent year. They're sitting at 25-22 right now, 2.5 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the Northeast, the Eastern, the NL East, thinking of the Red Sox and Yankees. Let's see how far they are back in the wild card. They're only a half game back for that second wild card spot, which is where I think they will end up. I think before long, I think Philadelphia will heat up and run away with it.
Oh, they're starting to heat up a little. Bryce Harper's starting to get going again. Yeah, so
I think it's Philadelphia division to lose this year. Atlanta will be in there with like Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Arizona, St. Louis. I think that'll be the mix for the wild card spots. So hopefully they can hang on. And also, there's been some really good-looking crowds at SunTrust this year. I haven't been able to get down there yet, but I will before too long. Looks like attendance is up, so I don't want to hear about Atlanta Spirit. Not Atlanta Spirit. What are they? Liberty Media. I don't want to hear about media being broke. The battery's popping. It don't matter when you go. Game day, not game day, lunchtime, dinner time, snack time, that place is packed. So I don't want to hear they're broke. Also, they're charging $1,500 a month for apartments down there. Oh, wait, they sold them. So I don't want to hear about them not having money. Anyways, let's wish our Braves the best. Atlanta Dream. It's dream time, guys. The Atlanta Dream wrapped up their preseason at 2-1. Season starts Friday. I need every single one of y'all to go down to State Farm Arena and go run with the Dream. I'm telling you, I don't care what you think. It's a good product. It's a good game. They play some good fundamental basketball. You got some kids out there, and you want to show them how to play the game, you need to be making them watch the WNBA. It's some good basketball. The Dream, they're going to have a really good team this year. Hopefully Angel can come back before too long. They'll be one of the title favorites if Angel can come back rather quickly. But go out there, go run with the Dream. Is this the 10th year? No, this might be the 11th year. So we're looking for another championship to the city of Atlanta. Anybody have anything to add about them?
Nothing. They're just probably the most consistent team in Atlanta, that's for sure. They're always consistently in the playoffs, one of the top teams in WNBA. So.
Been to the finals three times. Conference finals. Three times. Even without their best player last year. So they're a good team and great coach. We had her on Game Time Radio a few weeks ago. If you haven't caught that interview, I suggest you go to gtradio1100.com. Go back and check it out. Great, great personality, Coach Nikki Collins. She is a great, great coach, great lady out there coaching the Dream. Let's talk about Atlanta United. You know, here are my notes I had talking about much, much better. I think I need to erase that. They weren't much, much better today, this evening. 1-0 loss to the New Jersey Red Bulls. I don't care if their name is New York. They play in New Jersey. I'm calling them New Jersey. Just didn't look good today. Kind of looked sluggish, which honestly, I mean, we've played like 15 matches in the last 2 days. We've had like a basketball schedule lately. It's absolutely ridiculous how many matches we've been playing. But we had been playing much, much better. You know, we're not scoring a lot of goals, but we just went through a 521-minute stretch where we didn't allow a goal. That's about, let's see, 954 divided by 9. It's about 6 matches worth of time where we did not allow a goal. And it wasn't even because of great goalkeeping from Brad Guzan. It was because of our back line anchored there by Miles Robinson, who's having just a sensational year defending for Atlanta United. But we're going to have to do better. We're still going to have to do better. We got to score more goals. We got to get Joseph more involved. We got to get Pity more involved. You know, I understand Frank DeBoer's system is not the same, but you have the most firepower in MLS history. You have to play to that. I really want to see some more goals. You know, even with this loss, we're only 4 points behind first place now. I mean, that, which considering a month ago, we were in last place in the East. And we beat Orlando last week because Orlando can never beat us. They never will beat us. They never have beat us. They can go back to Disney World. But LA, I told everybody to be patient, and as we've seen, it's come along. We have a match Friday in Salt Lake, and then we'll be back on June 1st, and then we don't play again until June 26th, so we'll get some rest. I can't remember who all is going to have some international duty. I know Barco is down there with his side on the under-20 team in their World Cup. I'm sure Joseph will probably be going down next month and pity, but we still got 2/3 of the season left. We're going to be fine. I wouldn't take anybody in the East over us right now. LAFC is basically us from last year. They are a juggernaut. They are easily the best team in MLS right now. It's a lot of parallels to Atlanta United of last year. Just a joy to watch, scoring goals left and right. Carlos Vela, absolutely best player in the MLS this year. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm Frank DeBoer. It's coming along, but like I said, we need to see some more goals with this much talent. We got to see some more goals. You have anything to add about Atlanta United?
How do you dare?
I mean, like you said, I mean, they're not scoring. Like, there's no goals. I mean, it makes fans lose interest. I mean, but is that the main thing that you're worried about? No, you're worried about winning. And I mean, they starting, like you said, been better besides today. But I mean, they're still right there. And when it comes to the end of the year, I mean, they'll be there. And I mean, they'll most likely do what they did last season if they play to their potential that they can.
How are them Reds looking, Derek?
The Reds, they've been better. I can't tell you the record right off the bat. We're still below 500, but not that much. Braves. Not as good as the Braves have been recently, but better than expected.
I want to shout out Georgia Tech Baseball, Brett, real quick.
They just won their division, and they got the 2 seed in the ACC tournament. So tournament starts Tuesday, but they'll play Wednesday. They're in a little weird – it's a terrible thing what they do for the tournament where they have all these pool play games, stuff like that. But they're in the pool with Notre Dame and Duke. And they just had to win one of the two games they're going to play. And then they'll move on to the Final Four in the tournament and pretty much lock up hosting a regional, all that kind of stuff. So, incredible year. They lost one series all year, or two series all year. So, it was impressive.
Also, I know UGA is right up there, too. Mm-hmm. I believe they're both ranked in the top 10
right now.
Baseball polls.
So, yeah, Georgia's been – I went and watched them play over – Athens where they play Tech, and they got some – their pitching staff is deep, so they can definitely make a run.
Nice. It's good to see Georgia teams doing well, no matter who they are, no matter what sport. You always want to see us do well. The special announcement on August 11th, second Saturday in August. I hope I got that number right. We're finally going to have Hoobin' with Hawks Talk. We're going to have a back-to-school jam. So much more information will be coming out, but we're going to be looking for back-to-school donation items, and also we're going to be having a basketball tournament down here, Central Park, in the shadows of downtown Atlanta. So be on the lookout for much more information on that. Start getting your teams together to try to come beat my team. I got to get my team together. Maybe I'll get like Trey Young on my team or something. I don't know. Trey Young, John Collins, and me, nobody's beating us. Definitely. Sure you guys check that out. August 11th, Central Park. Be there, be square. But that's it. That's all we got for you guys tonight, folks. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Quarter fans, bottom fans, make sure you check us out. Twitter, Instagram, our website, atlsportshq.com. And definitely, if you want to come join us, right for the site, let us know. Let's get our shout-outs. Start with you, Brett.
Yeah, shout out to all the viewers and listeners out there. And again, I'm going to go back to the Georgia Tech baseball. I'm going to shout them out again. Hopefully celebrate an ACC tournament win by this time next week. So shout out to them.
I want to shout out all the new college graduates. It's a great feeling. Enjoy it. You know, I just graduated last semester. Still doesn't feel real sometimes, but enjoy it. And it's a great accomplishment, so live it up. And definitely shout out everybody listening, everybody watching, everybody supporting, everybody that reads our articles. Had so much outpour of support and just recognition from Trey Young's dad, from Trey Young liking it himself, from my Trey Young season article. You know, that's why we do it. We do it for you guys, for fans, for everybody out there. Definitely appreciate that. That was definitely the highlight of what I've done so far. And also just shout out John Collins' mom for being great to us always, showing support to the HQ page all the time too. Who you want to shout out, Derek?
Yeah, shout out everyone that has watched. We missed a week, and but still consistent views, and I mean our viewership is growing throughout, so it's good to see that. We appreciate that. And Hawks fans, don't panic. We're gonna be all right with the 8th and 10th pick, and we're gonna be right back at it next season.
Playoffs next year.
I think it'll be a 6-7 seeds, 8, something like that.
I hope so. I miss playoff games. And I tell you, if you've never been to a Hawks playoff game, it's amazing. You know, it's so much different than the regular season. Honestly, I think it's one of the better atmospheres in the NBA. And I think with this new core and the new arena and everything, man, if we make it to the playoffs next year, State Farm is going to be one of the best buildings in the NBA atmosphere-wise. I really believe that.
I had a similar game. Well, obviously, they weren't. The games weren't made as much, but towards the end of this year, the arena started that celebrities lining up and down the courtside seats and everything. So
it was a great.
I got back.
I mean, there would be times I'd be at the games this year, and I would forget that, like, we're a 29-win team. I'm, like, cheering like this is a playoff game. Like, there's something on the line pulling them to win. It was a really great feeling. I can't wait for October. It's going to be great.
It's going to be so much fun.
But thanks, you guys, for tuning in, as always. And we'll see you next, I don't know, next Sunday. It'll be the Memorial Day weekend. But we'll see you sometime in the next week. Y'all have a great night.